Please turn with us to the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin at verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 7. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Let us pray. Father, again thank you for the marvelous scripture, the word of God, that proclaims the resurrection of thy wonderful Son. And Father, because of that, we gather today. Lord, we trust that everything that is going to be said and done this day has already and will honor you and glorify your name. And let us, as our hearts are touched with the story of the resurrection, God, let us remember how great and wonderful you are, how good you are, and what you've done for us. And Father, as a people here this morning in this place, help us to rejoice in the truth of the Word of God. Now we thank you so much, Lord, and for the promises of thy Word, and we ask you this morning, should there be one here that is not saved, does not know if they died, they'd go to heaven. Father, what a wonderful day it would be, Father, for them to put their faith and trust and call upon Christ and be saved today. And so, Father, we ask this, you be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The virgin birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, some of the greatest events that ever took place upon the face of this earth. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course, all those others had to be too. The virgin birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection sealed our destiny. Because of him, we can have eternal life. Because of him, we can spend eternity in heaven. What a wonderful truth it is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, we want to bring you a message this morning concerning it. What do we do with the resurrection? What do we do with the resurrection? What a tremendous, tremendous scripture in chapter 27 and chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. We see him being brought to trial. We see him crucified. We see him buried. And thank God in the first part of chapter 28, we see the angel proclaiming his resurrection. He is risen. He is no longer in a tomb. Thank God for that this morning. And I pray that each and every one that is here has come with hearts, grateful hearts, for the goodness of God and for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, as I said, we just want to preach a simple message on what to do. What do we do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I want to give you a few things. First of all, I just want to share with you, if there had been no resurrection, these thoughts and ideas, these principles come from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. You don't have to turn over there, but the Bible teaches us that if there had been no resurrection, preaching would have been in vain. It would have been no good whatsoever for any preacher this morning to get up and behind his pulpit and preach about faith in Jesus Christ or anything else if there had been no resurrection. It would have been foolish for me to even take the time or preparation to come to you and preach to you Jesus Christ if there had not been any resurrection. But I say ahead of time, thank God, there was the resurrection. The Bible teaches us that if there had been no resurrection, our faith would have been vain. In vain. That means empty, without any good whatsoever. This morning, do you realize if there had been no resurrection of Jesus Christ, any faith that you would have had in God would have meant nothing whatsoever. He said our faith would have been in vain. He also tells us that we would be false witnesses. In fact, if there had been no resurrection, he says, all of us, the apostles, the prophets, preachers of today, preachers of days ago, would all have been false witnesses. We would have been getting up and telling of a story that did not happen. But thank God we're telling a story that did happen. We're telling because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we can also have eternal life. And I can preach that to you this morning. I can bring a message of hope to you that are without Christ, that Jesus loves you, He died for you, He was buried, and He rose again for your justification. I can preach that this morning, thank God, because there was a resurrection. Not only that, if there was no resurrection, the Bible tells us we would still be in our sins. Can you imagine that? This morning, you and I would still be in our sin if there was no resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. You and I would have to pay for our own sin, an eternity of it. And we would still be in that sin if there had not been any resurrection. Not only that, all of those who had died before us, the Bible says, the dead would have perished. Those who had died before us. I know you and I each have loved ones. Some of you and I have loved ones that know the Lord who died. And we have that wonderful, wonderful, not hoping so, but wonderful hope that we're going to see them again because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thing it is. Wouldn't it be awful to have doubt whether there would be anybody we'd ever see again? If there'd been no resurrection, that's the way we'd been left. You see, the dead would have perished. They'd been gone forever and ever, and there would have been no hope whatsoever. Not only that, he tells us, if in this life only we have hope, we're men most miserable. Thank God that this life alone, and Jesus Christ's life alone just on this earth, would not give us a hope. But he died and was raised again, and that's where we have our hope, because he died for our sins. And because of that, we have eternal hope forever and ever, you see. And it would be a terrible thing if there would be no hope. Can you imagine living without hope? I can't imagine that, but we have hope. We know because of Christ we'll see God one of these days. We'll spend eternity with Him, and we'll see those loved ones whom we know was in Christ. So the Bible, when it goes ahead and tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, after it says all those things, but now He is risen from the dead. Thank God for that wonderful statement. No. What if it hadn't happened? Well, all of these things could not have taken place, but He is risen from the dead. And this morning we proclaim that wonderful resurrection. I want you to go with me now over to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, please, of the book of Romans. Let me read verse number 9, starting there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are we going to do about the resurrection? First of all, what we need to do is believe it. We need to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. It's an absolutely necessity that we believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, you may not understand it all. You may not know how God handled it all and how He done it and all of this. But all we do know is the Scripture says He rose again. And because of that, we must believe it. A person that refuses to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ refuses to believe in the salvation that God has given unto us. So I say to you, and there's multitudes today, and shame on America, but there's many people and even preachers today that will stand in their pulpits and cast doubt upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a shame it is, but we won't do that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We all believe that. We know that Jesus rose again, you see. And the first thing we need to do is we need to believe it, you see. That's what we've got to do, to believe in Jesus Christ and that God raised Him from the dead so that we can be saved, you see. God wants you saved. And the Bible also says that we should confess it. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you see, and believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You see, God wants us not only to believe it, He wants us to confess it. You see, have you got a mouth this morning? Is it good to confess that Jesus rose from the dead? And it's good for all of us here at Blessed Hope, here in the confines and the walls of this church, to confess that and to say amen and hallelujah. And well, we should. We absolutely should do that. Proclaim the living Savior. But it ought not to be confined into the walls of this church. We ought to confess it everywhere we go, that Jesus rose again. We ought not to be ashamed in Him. You see, the Bible tells us not to be ashamed in Him. He says, for the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. We ought not to be ashamed that Jesus rose from the dead. Go out and tell that message. Preach it everywhere you go. Tell them that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead. Not only was killed on a cross, but buried, but rose again from the dead. So we need to believe that wonderful truth. And that's why He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not here this morning, if you're here this morning and you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you do not come to that place where you put your faith and trust in Him. Folks, I've got good news for you. Jesus does love you, and Jesus will save you this morning. You say, Brother Ross, will He save me? Yes, He will. I don't care who you are. You say, you don't know what I've done. I know, but God does, and He still wants to save you. Amen. He still wants to give you eternal life. You see, you've got to get saved the same way as everybody else gets saved. You've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've got to believe in Him. It's Him that died on the cross for you. No one else did it. No one else could. This preacher may love you, but I couldn't die for you. It would do no good. I had to die for my own sins. Amen? You see, I couldn't die for yours. I'd have to die for my own sin, but Jesus Christ had none. And He died for your sins and my sin, you see. And He died for the sin of all the world. He became a ransom for all. Thank God for that. So what do we do about the resurrection? Well, first of all, we believe it. And then we go out and confess it. We confess it to all the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If all of us would just take that admonition this morning and go out this week and tell somebody about Christ done for you and how he died for you and how He gave His life and was buried and rose again for you, and would present that and confess that to a lost world, I think it'd be surprising what would happen here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think it'd be surprising what would happen in this area around here if we'd begin to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He rose from the dead. So please turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, please. This is that chapter of Scripture that I referred to earlier, talking about how Paul talked about if there had been no resurrection, what would have happened. I want to read to you the first four verses of 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We've referred to this just a little bit, but what should we do with the resurrection? The Apostle Paul said what he did with it was preached it. He come there and he brought the message of resurrection. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." The gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, the burial, and resurrection of our wonderful Lord. And because of that, people can get saved. Folks, it's simple. It's wonderful. It's putting faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul said, that's the message. In fact, in verse 3, he said, that's the message I delivered unto you. I delivered the message of how He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how He was buried, and how He rose again according to the Scriptures. He said, that's the message I brought. That's the gospel message that I brought to you. So what do we do with it? What do we do with the resurrection? Well, go out and preach it. Go out and tell it. Everywhere you go, tell about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. Paul said he brought that message. He delivered it to them according to the Scriptures. In other words, that was the Old Testament Scriptures. Folks, we don't have to just read the New Testament to find the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was proclaimed. It was prophesied. Go to Psalm 16 and it tells us there in that wonderful psalm that hell will not hold his soul. No. Resurrection from the dead, you see. And I say to you, it's proclaimed from the very, all through the Old Testament, His wonderful resurrection. And so Paul said, that's the message I brought to you. His death, His burial, His resurrection. So what do we do with the resurrection of Christ? Well, we proclaim it. We preach it everywhere we go. Not only that, in Luke, the 24th chapter, please. The book of Luke, the 24th chapter. 24th chapter, we're going to start reading verse number 45. It said, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures.
And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. According to this scripture, he said that he opened their understanding of the scriptures. And when he did that, he began to teach them how it was right and proper for Christ to suffer. Now folks, Jesus Christ had to suffer. He had to suffer. He had to die on a cross of Calvary for you and for I. That's simple teaching, but it's truth. He had to do it. There was no other way that it could have been accomplished. Jesus Christ had to die on the cross of Calvary. He had to suffer all the things that he suffered in this life. He then went to a cross, died there, was buried, thank God, rose again. But he had to suffer all of those things. And he said it was scriptural, it was right, it was proper. He had to do it. Now let us think for just a moment or two. He did that for us. He had to do it for us. Folks, if you're a Christian this morning, Jesus suffered for you. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus suffered for you. And he wants you to come to him, you see. Jesus did that. And then he goes on and then and teaches them and to rise from the dead the third day. He did not suffer and remain in a tomb. No. He rose the third day. Thank God for the scripture. Well, what do we do about that? What do we do with that wonderful truth? Well, he tells us in verse number 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What he's saying to you is, come to repentance. Jesus Christ has died. He suffered. He's died. He rose again. What do we do with it? Well, come to repentance and believe upon his name. Believe that he died there for you. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you see, and you'll receive remission of sin. God will wash your sin away. Cleanse you from it. Forever. You say, Brother Ross, how about the sin I'm going to commit in the future? I hope you're not figuring on doing that. But it's all covered. Jesus died. He died for your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. And I'm saying to you, we ought not to figure on it, and a real Christian doesn't figure on it. He doesn't figure like I'm going to go out and sin tomorrow. But I'm just simply saying to you, thank God Jesus paid for it all. He washed us all clean, you see. And because of that, what's he saying to us? Well, we need to come to repentance. We need to come to that place where we repent and we turn our faith and our heart toward God. We turn our heart away from these old things of the world and say, God, you're it. You're the Savior. You're the one that died. And because you died, I can have remission of sin. You see, and you look to God, you call upon him and ask him to save you and give you everlasting life, and he'll do it. It's a promise of the Lord, you see, in his word. So what do? We repent. We turn to Christ and we receive a remission of sin. And I say to you again today, what do we do with the resurrection? Well, folks, believe it, confess it, and then repent and receive remission of sin. I want to stop there just for a moment. I don't know the hearts of everybody's here. Okay, I don't know your hearts. I can't look into your heart. I don't know what's there. There's however many different peoples here has got a different heart. Each one of us is different. But I want to say to you, look, I don't care who you are. Make a difference. Whether it's the preacher, whether it's you, whoever it is. There has to be a time when you've come to Christ and you have told the Lord that you are an old rotten sinner just exactly like he says you are. You admit that. You look at your sin as God looks at it. Not the way man looks at it. Someone told me yesterday, when I was visiting yesterday, she wouldn't let me talk to her husband. He's an older gentleman. He's very, very bad health. She wouldn't let me talk to him. She said, he's a good man. And I said to her, good men don't go to heaven. Saved men go to heaven. She wouldn't let me by that front door. And I kept trying to convince her. I said, do you know? He'd already told me he was not saved. I said, don't you understand that he's not saved? He's not ready for heaven. If he dies, he'll go to hell. He said, don't make a difference. We're not interested in that. I said, she said to me, I'm not trying to offend you, but I just don't want to hear this. And we're not ready to hear it. I'm saying to you, good men don't go to heaven, folks. Saved men go to heaven. Right. See, we've got that all wrong. There's all kinds of people in this area around here thinks they're pretty good Joes. I don't care how good a Joe you are. You're not saved. You're not born again. You're not going to heaven. So you got to put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you here this morning, what are you depending on? Just because you was a good Joe, you're not doing too bad? That don't work, you see. Brother Joe, I'm sorry, I'm using your name back there. Joe Knoll's already taken care of that, haven't you?
Is there any Sams in this room? So if you're a good Sam, you that ain't not going to make it. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't going to make it. I don't care how good you are, you ain't going to make it. You see, you got to trust in Christ. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. You got to put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen? Now, you say, can I do that? Yes, you can, dear friend. Every single person here, sometime or other, has done that or can do that. They could do that today. You could put your faith, your trust in Christ, and be saved before you go away from this place. So what do? Well, we come to the place of repentance. We turn to Christ and we receive the remission of sin. And then over in 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. Verse number 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul here reminds them of something. Be good for me to remind you of this morning. You may not have to be reminded. Be good for me to remind you anyway that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's what he said. Remember that. You know, every time we have communion service, I realize we're dealing with his broken body. We're dealing with his shed blood, but we're also dealing with the fact that he rose again, because without resurrection, there would be no use remembering his broken body and his shed blood. We're remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know, it's interesting because Paul is reminding them. Said, remember his resurrection. Remember him raising from the dead. I would do that to us this morning. Folks, never forget it. Thank God for it every day. Get up of a morning, say, Lord, thank you for the death and burial and resurrection of your wonderful Son. That's why I'm saved today. That's why I can make it through the day. That's why if something happens to me, I'll go to heaven. Because it's death and burial and resurrection. So he reminds us, he says, what do you do with the resurrection? Well, remember it. Don't ever forget it. Keep it in mind. Constantly let it be upon your heart what Jesus Christ done for you. And you know, I realize we're living in America. I realize I live in America. And we have such a tendency to keep our hearts and minds upon ourselves. We're a self-generation. And oh, if we could just get away from that thing. We just basically just think about what's good for us, about ourselves, what's going to happen to us down the future. But God tells us to remember Him. Remember Him. You see, and remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Get our minds off of ourselves, and you'll be surprised what will happen in your life. I'm really convinced that most people wouldn't have nervous breakdowns if they'd go out and help somebody else. They get their heart, you get their minds off of themselves and get it on the Lord and the work of the Lord. They'd have less troubles all the time. They just get their hearts remembering Jesus Christ and how good He is. So what do? Well, we remember it. Do we believe it? Do we confess it? Do we preach it? Do we repent and find remission of sin? Well, then we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only that, over in Acts, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. If you'll notice, the Bible says on the first day of the week, they came together, they broke bread, and Paul began to preach. On the first day of the week is a proper time for us to come aside every week and be in God's house and hear preaching of the Word of God. It's a proper thing to do. And you see, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning, we can gather in His name. We can proclaim the wonderful truths, whether we're preaching on the resurrection, whether we're preaching on the virgin birth or the new birth or whatever it might be, Christian living. We know this. We couldn't be here preaching if it wasn't because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, because of Him, He rose again from the dead. So it's right for us to worship Him on the first day of the week. It's right for us to gather together and worship our Lord. He even tells us over in 1 Corinthians 16 chapter, on the first day of the week, lay aside that as God has prospered you. First day of the week. Why do we gather? Because God tells us in the first day of the week we should gather together. Sunday's a day it ought to be given unto the Lord. Hear me? Sunday's a day. Many people stole Sundays from God for a long time. You ought not steal Sundays from God. That's the first day of the week. You ought to be in God's house, you see.
Amen? You ought to be right there where God says you ought to be. You gather together. Why? Because of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of Him, you see, we ought to want to be there. Did you ever stop and ask yourself, why don't I want to be there? Did you ever stop and ask yourself that? Why don't you want to be? You know I'm a preacher. I understand that. I preach. I have to be here, supposedly. Folks, I don't come because I'm a preacher. I wasn't always a preacher. And I want to tell you something. I couldn't wait to get to church. I'm just telling you, my wife will testify. My children will testify. They came to church. They came with their dad and mom. We just went. There was no question about where we're going on Sunday. We wasn't going to Grandma's house on Sunday. We wasn't going to King's Island on Sunday. We wasn't going anywhere else on Sunday. We were going to go to church. I still look at that same principle, and that's what I do every Sunday. Amen. I just go to church. Now, I'll probably break a leg tonight, I'll try to hobble in if I do. You know, you don't realize what a preacher goes through, because every time I preach about something, I'm tried one way or another on that thing. But anyway, I go to church on Sunday. Why? Because it's right to go to church. I want to worship the Lord. I want to thank Him and praise Him for all He's done for us. I want to be here together with God's people, you see. Why don't we want to go to church? You see, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, we ought to be on the first day of the week, we ought to be in God's house worshiping the Lord and thanking God for Him. Amen? And all that He's done for us. Over in the book of Colossians, please. Third chapter, book of Colossians. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, it's an interesting verse of Scripture, a wonderful verse of Scripture. What he tells us is this. If we're risen with Christ, and let me say to you, you know the Scripture. If you're saved, you're born again, you've been around preaching, you understand that when He rose, He made it possible that we also rose. We're risen with Him. We're in Him. Okay? So He says, what should we do because of that resurrection? He tells us we ought to seek those things which are above. Now, because of the resurrection, because of His and our resurrection, we ought to seek those things which are above. What should we do to the resurrection? Because of the resurrection? We ought to seek the things which are above. He says, in fact, those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And listen to what he says in verse number 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, what is he saying to us? Seek the things which are above. Where is your affections? Set them on things above. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that where our love ought to be? Did you know that wherever your treasures are, that will be where your heart is? Did you know your heart follows treasures? Treasures do not follow heart? Did you understand that? Do you know that's what the Scripture says? So wherever your treasure is, whatever is treasure to you, that's where your heart will be. Now God says because we're raised again, because He rose again and we're raised with Him, our affections ought to be on things above. Now listen to what He says in verse 3. And He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, a Christian, he is dead. Did you ever, this may not sound too good, but did you ever try to kick a dead man? He don't care if you kick him all day long. He ain't going to respond to you. You know why? He's dead. Did you ever try to kick most Christians? We raise up and we rant and we rave. Did you know we're supposed to be dead? We're dead to the things of this world. God says we are. We're just dead to the things of this world. He said, you're raised again with Christ. Set your affections on things above. Make that more important. Now listen. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Did you hear what he says in verse 5? Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery. Do you see what he said? That word mortify, that means to put to death. Put to death the members of your body. In other words, since we're raised from the dead, let's put to death those old things of this world and let's put our affections on things of God. And the things that he mentioned there, the uncleanliness, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, in other words, that's speaking about in uncontrollable desires, evil concupiscence, which means wicked desires, and covetousness, which means always wanting more, which is idolatry, and which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Did you hear what he said? He is saying, if you're risen with Christ, what do? Well, you put off the old man. Put on the new man. Where do you set your affections at? You set your affections on things above. See, because of the resurrection, that's where our affections ought to be. That's where our love ought to be. You have to decide that. You have to look inward. Ask yourself this morning, where is your love at? It followed your treasures. That's all I know. Because the scripture says so. Now, wherever your love is at, it's because your treasures are there. That's what means more to you. I'm simply saying to you, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our treasures ought to be in things above, the things of God. And we ought to love Him. We ought to put that first. Bible says that. God says that. Preacher's not making that up. That's what God says in His Word. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection, we're risen with Him. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me, please. What a wonderful thing it is God done for us. How wonderful it is He's been to us. He died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again for our justification. And because of that, should not we love Him? Should not we repent because of the resurrection and come to remission of sin? Should not we be here on the first day of the week worshiping God because of the resurrection? And should we not, because we're raised with Christ, should we not seek those things from above and put our affections on things above? Oh, my friend, please. Please love Jesus. Please love our wonderful Savior, folks. Listen, let me give you just some things quickly, and we'll close. Do you realize the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that He is God's Son? Did you realize it verifies the truth of the Scripture? If you go back over in Psalm 16 that I mentioned earlier, the resurrection verifies the truth of the Scripture. It was fulfilled what God said would happen. Do you realize it assures our own future resurrection? What a marvelous truth. Do you realize that it is the proof of future judgment? The Scripture teaches us, because of the resurrection of Christ, there will also be a judgment. Do you believe in the judgment? Do you know it's coming? There's going to be a judgment. Why? God says there is. Did you know also it gives power for Christian living? Because of the resurrection of Christ, people say, well, I just can't live the Christian life. Yes, you can, if you're a Christian. Don't tell me you can't. Yes, you can. What you and I do is we use that as an excuse. Yes, you can live the Christian life because the Holy Spirit of God is in you. And the resurrected Christ gives us power to live the Christian life. You may not do everything you think you ought to do, but it is there. Don't use that as an excuse. You can if you will. Not only that, it assures us of our future inheritance. The resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us a place in heaven. Folks, that's a marvelous truth. Did you know, if you're a Christian today, do you know you got a place reserved in heaven, 1 Peter 3rd chapter? Did you know that? I mean, it's marked off. I mean, it's settled. I mean, no one's going to cancel it. Amen? It's there, folks. If you are a Christian, you have a reserved place in heaven. And it's promised of God, and God cannot go back on His word. Thank God for the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I invite you this morning, if you're not saved, at the invitation, you say, Brother Ross, I do not know. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I invite you this morning to walk this aisle. Let us take the word of God. There'll be men standing here ready to receive you. They will get someone to take the word of God and show you quickly how you can know, or take as much time that you need with you, whatever it takes, show you how you can know that you're God's child, that you can get saved here this morning. God wants to do that for you. If you're not saved, please put your faith and trust in Christ this morning. Come and receive Jesus as your Savior. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank You for the wonderful truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thank You for that wonderful truth, and Lord, because of His resurrection, I also one day will be raised. Thank You for that. It's a promise of God. Thank You for the plan of salvation because of Him, His death, His burial, resurrection. Lord, we can be saved and be ready to meet You. And Father, we extend this invitation to those this morning who may not be ready. We ask You, God, to stir their hearts and help them as they come to receive Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.